Holy indifference. It's the theme I'd like to propose for our reflection on this Sunday morning. Holy indifference. Let's begin with St. Paul. In our second reading today, we hear from the very first chapter of his letter to the Philippians. We'll be hearing from this particular Pauline letter over the coming Sundays. And the context of Paul's life as he writes these words to the Philippians is important. He's in prison. He's been apprehended and put in prison. He's probably in Rome for the crime of being a believer in Jesus Christ, proposing Jesus as Lord, which was seen as an affront to Caesar. So Paul writes from prison, not knowing his fate. He knows that it's very possible that he could be put to death. And we who know the end of the story know, in fact, this is how Paul's life ended. He was beheaded outside of Rome, a martyr for our faith. But at this point, St. Paul's fate is uncertain. And we would probably expect someone in his position to cry out for justice, to complain about the fact that he's bound in chains simply for his faith. Paul says something rather different, perhaps even somewhat surprising. He says, "To me, life is Christ and death is gain. If I go on living in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I shall choose. I am caught between the two." Holy indifference. To St. Paul, life or death didn't matter to him. Why? Because of what he said at the beginning. Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. There's one thing that St. Paul was not at all indifferent about, and that was his love for the Lord. And it defined everything for him. His only desire, the burning desire of the heart of the Apostle Paul, was to serve Christ. Life, he said, is Christ. But he knows that Jesus Christ can and will be glorified not only in his life, but even in his death, even in the handing over of his life. He has a holy indifference to his ultimate fate, so long as Christ is magnified through him. What a beautiful, free, detached attitude with which to live. And then we see the gospel today, this parable that probably grates against us somewhat as we see these different laborers working for different amounts of times in the vineyard of this landowner, all of whom receive a full day's wage. And what is the response of those who bore the heat and the burden of the day? They complain. The landowner, who of course is meant to signify Christ in this parable, asks them, "Are you envious because I'm generous?" In other words, he was calling them to a kind of holy indifference, to not be concerned about their fellow workers, but to simply be satisfied with serving faithfully in the vineyard. The application to our lives is simple. Our call is to be somewhat indifferent about the different calls and gifts and blessings that the Lord bestows upon others, and instead to be single-heartedly devoted, like St. Paul was, to the Lord, to giving him everything of ourselves, to allowing him to be magnified through our lives. Holy indifference. This manifests in our Christian lives in so many different ways. I'll give you one example from my own life. It came at the time of my ordination as a deacon, 1 year before I was ordained a priest. Part of the ordination mass for deacons and then again as priests is a moment in which each individual to be ordained approaches the archbishop and kneels in front of him with our hands folded, and he wraps his hands around ours, and he looks at us and asks, "Do you promise respect and obedience to me and to my successors?" And as I gave the simple response to then Archbishop Burke at that time, "I do," I experienced in my own heart this profound freedom, the freedom that is the fruit of this holy indifference, because I was pledging my life to the service of Christ and his church. And that meant all I was called to was this obedience to wherever the Archbishop of St. Louis sends me. And so I've tried to live this in my priesthood with each of my assignments that I've received, preserving this holy indifference. I'm happy to be pastor at St. Gerard Magella. I didn't ask to come here. I simply preserved that holy indifference, and when the Archbishop called me and asked me to come here, I said yes. And I haven't and don't intend to ask him to move me somewhere else, but I remain ready to go when he calls. There's a freedom to living this spirit of holy indifference. It applies to every area, really, of our life. I'd like to share with you another very current and applicable example for all of us that's kind of hidden, buried in the language of St. Paul today. At the end of this reading, he said, "Conduct yourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ." Scholars who know Greek point out that the verb choice here is an interesting one. The Greek word for conduct is, and I'm not sure I'm saying this perfectly right because I'm not one of these Greek scholars, politeumai. Politeumai. You can hear a connection to politics. St. Paul was speaking to the Philippians about their call as disciples of Christ to play their part in shaping and molding the society and culture in which they lived, and to do so in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. St. Paul wants them to be good citizens. Certainly, that's very much on our minds these days in our country, in the midst of all of the turmoil and seemingly mutual contempt in the news between politicians. I think the church, in a way, is inviting us to a kind of holy indifference towards this upcoming election. What do I mean by that? Well, not in the sense that it doesn't really matter who or what we vote for. The church very ardently calls us to form our consciences and to exercise that important duty to vote so as to do our part to try and shape and mold our culture, our society, our beloved nation in line with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so she does very clearly call us to look at all the issues, not just personalities and blind party allegiance, but look at the issues and to recognize that there are many issues for us to consider, but that they hold different weight. The church is very concerned for fundamental wounds in our society, which continues to deprive the most vulnerable and innocent among us, the unborn, of the very right to life. Even to the extent of nearly 1 million unborn children dying every year through abortion. The church is very concerned about the family, which is the basic building block of society, and calls us to do what we can to form a society in which the family is valued and built up, family founded upon the permanent marriage of husband and wife as the heart and the bedrock of the family. All of this, certainly, the church calls us to take to mind. But in the end, we're called to exercise our duty for Christ, but then to have a holy indifference about those things over which we have no control, which ultimately is the outcome of the election. We each have one vote. We're called to exercise that duty and that right well, But no matter what happens, whether our candidate wins or not, we should not give in to fretful anxiety and worry, apocalyptic rhetoric about the end of the world as we know it. For even if it is the end of the world as we know it, Christ will be magnified in you and me so long as we give ourselves totally to him. May that be our prayer today, asking our Lord, as he feeds us again with his very life, his own body and blood, to help us to be passionately devoted to serving him, to magnifying him, whether we live or die, and to live a holy indifference towards everything else, satisfied, at peace, and joyful that we have the privilege of magnifying Jesus Christ in our lives and even in our deaths. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.